All right, good morning. We're going to dive in now to 1 and 2 Samuel. We're going to be looking at King David, a man after God's own heart. That's the title of this series. So grab a Bible and turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be in 1 and 2 Samuel, trust me, but our theme verse is from Acts 13. 22 through 23, and it is a verse in the New Testament that mentions King David. But the title for this morning's message is this: The GOAT, King David. All right, the GOAT. And by GOAT, I mean greatest of all time, King David. So let me ask you, what comes to your mind when you think of the adjective great? Or when you think of the superlative greatest, who, what experience, what a major event, what comes to your mind? I remember the first time that I saw one of the Great Lakes. I had grown up hearing about the Great Lakes. I had seen them on maps. I had done little quizzes as a kid with the map of the United States, and I could name some of the Great Lakes. But I had never seen a Great Lake until I moved to Chicago and I saw Lake Michigan. Now, I grew up swimming in lakes. I lived near a lake growing up. Lakes were very familiar to me. And I didn't expect the Great Lakes to be all that surprising or different to me because I knew lakes, right? Till I saw a Great Lake. Oh my goodness. It's an ocean. Why are they calling it a lake? That's ridiculous. The Great Lakes are massive. The Great Lakes. Or maybe you think of the Great Wall of China. Or maybe you think of, and you know, you can see the Great Wall of China from outer space. Isn't that amazing? Maybe you think of the Great Depression. Maybe you think of that in particular right now as we fight an economic downturn or go through one. Maybe you think of an American spiritual revival called the, do you know, Great Awakening. Maybe you think of a great white shark and it scares you. Maybe you think of Alexander the Great. He's so famous because he wasn't just an effective general. He spread his culture. He Hellenized the entire world with the Koine Greek language, and he was tutored by Aristotle, Alexander the Great. Or maybe you are just really a simple person like me, and you have been stressing over who is the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Who's the GOAT? This is the question that we're all wondering, and we all know that it's Michael Jordan. So the title of the sermon this morning is The GOAT, King David, the greatest of all time. We're going to be looking at King David, and I'm going to go through and talk about him and just how great he was. And I believe and trust it's going to encourage us. Let me read to you one verse from the New Testament, pray, and we're diving in, okay? Acts 13, 22 and 23. And this is Paul, the apostle, on a missionary journey. He says, "And when he had removed him," he's speaking of God, "when he had removed him, when God had removed King Saul from the throne, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised.'" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, awesome day to gather as the people of God. We feel a connection with all who have looked by faith to Christ. And we know that as we look back to the cross of Jesus Christ, David, our spiritual ancestor, looked forward with hope to the time when you would provide a Savior and a King who is greater even than him. So Lord, open our eyes to appreciate and be challenged and be encouraged and built up by your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The goat, King David. We're going to look at four quick things with David, okay? First, and really each of these things is telling you what kind of study this is going to be. This is an introduction today. It's going to be, we're going to look at the fact that this is a character study. So we're going to introduce ourselves to David. We're going to look at that this is a topical study. So I want to share with you the themes that we're going to cover from David's life in the weeks that follow. We're going to look at that this is a book study. So we're going to talk about and sort of introduce ourselves to 1 and 2 Samuel. And we're going to look at this as a Christian study. And that just means that 1 and 2 Samuel and David, everything, all of it, every letter and punctuation mark points to the cross of Jesus Christ. I promise you it does. So first, I want to talk about how this is a character study, an introduction to David. So David, nice to meet you. He was born in 1040 BC. So you can figure that out about 3,000 years ago. He became king at the age of 30. He died in 970 BC at the age of 70. So he was king for about 40 years. Let's talk about his family. His dad's name was Jesse. He was the youngest of seven sons. More about that in a minute. He was a descendant of Ruth, the book in the Bible that is right before 1 Samuel. He is only 10 generations removed from Judah, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He had more than one wife. He had eight that we know of. And you may want me to talk all about that, and I can afterward. We can talk and take questions. But the thing I would just say is that polygamy, marriage to more than one wife, never God's ideal. Ever in the Bible was it God's ideal. Never. But it was allowed, not encouraged, but allowed in the Old Testament for a period. And then it was totally prohibited in the New Testament. So just know that. But he had numerous wives. You've heard of Michal, that's Saul's daughter. Maybe Abigail you've heard of. And most people have heard of Bathsheba. All right. He had 19 sons. That's a lot. Yep. Ammon, Absalom, Adonijah, maybe you've heard of one of them, Solomon. All right. Multiple daughters. We don't know most of their names. The only one we do know is Tamar. There's a story in the Bible with her. So that is some introduction to David's basic family stuff, but let's talk about what he's known for, his accomplishments. We are meeting David right now. Here's some accomplishments. This is a big one, and I want to really hit this. He is a man after God's heart. That's the title of our series. That's where we're going. We want to say to God during this sermon series that we have been small-hearted people and we want to be big-hearted Christians like we see in David. Okay? Really, that's the heart. To be Christians that love the Lord our God, not just with all of our mind, but with all of our heart, our soul, and our strength. That's the heart behind this series. How amazing is it that God said of David, that is a man after my own heart. You might even wonder, what does that even mean? I want to show you the places where that is in Scripture. 1 Samuel 13, 14. The word says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. It's talking to Saul. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. This is Samuel talking to Saul, the first king, as he is losing the kingdom. And then in Acts 13, the Apostle Paul says, and we read this already, he's talking about David. He says that God raised up David to be their king, of whom he, and that's God, testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Think about that. So let's make no mistake about it. Being a man or a woman or a, you know, girl or a boy after God's own heart is not left open to however you want to interpret it. It is defined as someone who will do all of God's will. It's defined that way. It is defined that way in contrast to Saul, who was the first king of Israel and was unwilling to follow God's will for him as the king of Israel to a T. And God rejected him for that disobedience. And he said, I'm finding a man who is a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. And that's David. So the real definition for this is total devotion. Uncompromised obedience. So may God do a work in our hearts as we study 1 and 2 Samuel and King David, that we might, like David, be people after God's own heart. People who are uncompromised. People who are unwilling to let there be those one or two areas in our life where we're just not willing to surrender to God, but to be totally devoted, because that is what it is to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, all right? So that's one thing about David. He's known for that. He's known for shepherding. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. 1 Samuel 16, 10 through 13, we pick up on the story here when David became king, or when he was anointed to be king. He didn't become king right away, but look, I'm going to read it to you. Verse 10 through 13. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before him. So Samuel is here and he's looking for the king that God told him to go find. He's one of the sons of Jesse. And they're all sort of passing before Samuel. And Samuel's looking at him and he's got all these tall, handsome guys that have come through. And he's like, it's not him. It's not him. It's not him. And God's like, Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance. Look at the inside. Look at the heart. God doesn't look at things the same way as you, Samuel. And so Samuel's chilling. He's doing this. He's gone through six sons. Then Samuel said to Jesse, verse 11, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. But behold, he's keeping the sheep. In other words, Jesse's like, we didn't invite him because we're pretty sure you don't want him. He's keeping the sheep. He's a shepherd. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. How amazing is that? He's like, take everyone's camping chair away. No one sits till that other son gets here. Samuel was hardcore, man. Anyways, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So he was a man after God's own heart. He was a shepherd. He was one of seven sons of Jesse. He also played music. He played music. 1 Samuel 16, 17 through 23. All right? I mean, look, I'm going to read this to you just so you can see how David was a musician. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. One of the young men answered, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence. And the Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David, your son, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them with David, to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent Jesse, saying, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. All right, that's a pretty cool guy. So he played music, And he was not only a musician, he was known as a musician, such that when Saul said, bring me a musician, there was just one guy. And I love the description of this musician. He's like a man of violence, a man of war. I mean, that's just such a great combination, right? A musician who's also like just sort of like, you know, defeating people and kicking people's butts. I love it. So anyways, he's a shepherd. He's a musician. He's a man after God's own heart. He is a giant killer. He kills Goliath. We're going to study that in a couple weeks or next week. He had great military success. He was a general. He was a king. It said in 1 Samuel 18, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. So David was the toast of Israel as a war general. He is known for his kingship. He was a famous world-renowned king. He's the king of Israel. He's known as a great repenter. He greatly sinned during his reign as king. But he's known as a great repenter. Psalm 51 has been a guide for repentance to so many billions of people, as David has set this example of how to get your heart right with the Lord. He's known for his writing. He's published, you could say that. David wrote 73 psalms at least. Psalm 23 alone, and the reuse of it is amazing. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Scholar Dr. R.C. Sproul said, if David never sat on the throne, never engaged in a military expedition, but only composed the Psalms, he would be famous forever and one of the greatest leaders we've ever known. So he was also known for his relation to Jesus Christ. Do you know what the first verse of the New Testament is? Well, it's Matthew 1, verse 1. Do you know what it says? What, here it is. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. And so I just want you to think for a moment as we move to the next point, but I just want you to think for a moment about some of your heroes, some of the people who you say they're the greatest or they're great. Examples, heroes, champions, those who inspire us. Maybe they are, you know, culturally huge. Maybe they shape culture with their art, or maybe it's a famous general in history or American history or world history. You know, maybe it's a writer who's greatly influenced you. Maybe it's a singer, a musician. David has done all of these. He's the GOAT. He's amazing. He's such an important figure in the Old Testament. So this study is a character study of David. That's our first point. Second point, it's a topical study. It's a topical study, meaning that there are some themes we will cover from David's life. Now, we're going to study passages of Scripture, okay? But in these passages, we're going to be confronted with themes, and I'm going to give you those. Here's where we're going. Next week, we're looking at David's heart of courage, 1 Samuel 17. From there, the heart of friendship. From there, the heart of integrity. Then the heart of worship. Then the heart of kindness. And the heart of purity. And the heart of lament. And so I ask you, Christian, do you need to grow in any of these areas? Courage, I do. Friendship, I do. Integrity, we all do. Worship, kindness, purity, lament. David and God's word will be our guide as we study. I'm so excited to study these themes from David's life. Now, our third point, it's a character study. First point, it's a topical study. Second point, and third, it's a book study. We are digging into God's word. You cannot ask Alexa or Siri or just go to Wikipedia to learn about King David. You can't. A study of King David takes us to the book in the Old Testament called 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Each week, we will be carefully studying passages of Scripture from 1 and 2 Samuel, so we need to know a little something about these books, and so quickly, I'm going to tell you a few things. There are 55 chapters in these books, 1 and 2 Samuel. How many of them do you think are about David? I'll tell you, 40. 40 of them. He is the main character. Samuel is the main character, then Saul, but then David, the goat. Part of the 1 and 2 Samuel are what we call historical books in the Old Testament. It means that they are of the genre that is narrative. So they are stories. They are true stories, but it is story. Let me tell you what I mean by that. And it's not law. It's not the book of Leviticus. It's not poetry. It's not the book of Ecclesiastes or Proverbs. Like, it's narrative. It's history. Maybe, you know, like if you're looking for something to watch, let's say you watch Netflix, right? And you sit down and you're like, what am I in the mood for? Have you ever done this? You start scrolling through, you know, different things, and it's like telling you like different types of movies. They are put in categories of what? What? Genre, right? Like comedy. Oh, I'm not in the mood for a comedy. Oh, drama. Maybe. Top 10 drama, maybe. You know, you're just like scrolling through it. Has anybody else ever just like done the scrolling through, trying to find what will perfectly satisfy your heart? What genre will do it for you? What? And then you realize like, oh, all my time's gone. I can't even watch something. Anyone else done that? Okay. So when we talk about genre, that's what you're doing. You're looking at the genres. And this is the genre of the narrative history of God's people, 1 and 2 Samuel. You know, the date of the events, it covers a 150-year span of time from about 1120 BC to 970 BC. The world was in the Iron Age at this time, which came after the Bronze Age, which came after the Stone Age, which came after Fred Flintstone. Okay. So the date and the human author is unknown. The exact date that it was written and composed, I mean, the date that God inspired the writer of 1 and 2 Samuel is unknown, but we know it was right after the events. I mean, it had to be. The author is not exactly known. It's not Samuel. Samuel dies, you know, very soon into 1 Samuel. It's only named for Samuel because as you sort of unroll the scroll, I mean, he's the first prominent character in 1 Samuel. So he died, Samuel did. David, it's all about him. It's 40 chapters about King David. So the name of the book is not implying authorship. We don't know the author. The main message is the establishment of the kingship of Israel. And so now our fourth and final point. So first, this is a character study. Second, this is a topical study. Third, it's a book study. And fourth, it is a Christian study. And so, you know, we're here going to see how 1 and 2 Samuel and David point us to Jesus, okay? Let me put it to you like this. In the 1500s, Michelangelo, Renaissance sculptor, he created this famous statue of David. Maybe you've seen it. We're using it for our logo for the sermon series. So suppose that we could study King David together as a church, and we could do such a good job at it that our study of David would bring together all the interesting things about him and the beauty of the Bible and his life, and it would bring it all together like so wonderfully that it would just be even greater than a Michelangelo statue. It's just, you've brought, we could just come to the statue of David. And if we did that, wouldn't it be just such a failure if our study of David didn't take us past the beauty of his life, even Michelangelo level beauty, if it didn't take us past all of that and further and upward to Jesus Christ? And so this is a Christian study, friends. We're not just studying the Old Testament as Bible scholars. We are looking at it as Christians. And 1 and 2 Samuel tell us of some of the best days in Israel. We see God do amazing things for his people in giving them a great nation and a great king, King David, the goat. But great as these blessings were, great as they were, we also see in 1 and 2 Samuel sins and shortcomings of these human kings, even the greatest of them, especially King David. And just two generations after King David, the kingdom would become divided. And just a couple hundred years later, the entire nation of Israel would be exiled to Babylon. So, as great as King David is, and as great as 1 and 2 Samuel is at telling us about the greatest of all time, King David, it still must be true that the greatest thing of all that 1 and 2 Samuel give to us is the promise that there will be a greater king. A king who will be related to and come through the line of David, but will not bring to us all the shortfalls that even the greatest of all time, King David, delivered. Jesus Christ. That's the good news. So this is a Christian study. Acts 13, verse 22 and 23. Again, this is our theme verse. I'm going to read it to you one more time as we finish up. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Let me read that verse again. Verse 23. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Oh, David is the goat. He is an inspiring example. And to hear of his faith and to be inspired by it, we need that. And we will do that. But he is not your Savior. He did not come born of a virgin. He did not live a sinless life. He did not die on the cross for your sins. He was not buried in a tomb next to death for your judgment. He did not defeat death, break free from death, and rise from the grave for your new life in him. David did none of those things. David points us to Christ. David, a great man, even the goat, is a man at best. We will look at David just as we look at that first peak of a mountain range to only look further to the majestic mountain behind it, which is Jesus Christ. And so it's a character study, a topical study, a book study, a Christian study. And here are my two application challenges I want to give you as we close, and then I'm going to close in prayer. The first one is this. Are you ready? This is a major application. Here it is. Come back next Sunday. I mean, I think this is an introduction sermon, right? So I just challenge you, come back next Sunday. Be dialed in for this study. All right. And the second one is this. I want to challenge you to pray and to ask God this week, what is the one thing in me that must change such that God might look at me and say, this is a man or a woman or a girl or a boy who is a man after my own heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your truth, and may it be powerful in our lives this week. Lord, may we be open and willing to change. As we study King David, as we look at Holy Scripture, as it leads us to the foot of the cross of Christ, we are thankful that there is no man who ever was more a man after your own heart than the full God-man, Jesus Christ. And we're thankful, Lord, that by your grace, we are hidden in Christ. We have your full approval. But may we not let that distract us from our calling to be men and women who are passionate and zealous and wholly devoted to the heart of God, to your heart. Lord, do a work in our lives. Lead us to greater obedience and faith. In Jesus' name, amen.